For 20 years, Mike Goldsworthy was a successful evangelical pastor in Long Beach, California. But like so many, he felt growing alarm over the political lockstep so many in the evangelical movement fell into, particularly during the Trump campaign and administration. Now, serving as adjunct homiletics professor at Hope International University, Mike has been building networks of support with fellow disaffected evangelical pastors and leaders, culminating in a gathering in South Bend, Indiana, last month. And I am really happy to welcome him today to State of Belief Radio. Mike Goldsworthy, thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's my pleasure.
Listen, I don't want to just start with this, but I've been down the same road that you've been down. And what strikes me immediately was that when I was going down that road, there weren't a lot of people trying to put something together to stop it. And you did. And that's good.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, this really kind of came about not trying to create, and we don't even have an organization. We weren't trying to create some sort of organization. It was simply meeting friends along the way who I resonated with. And every one of them would say a similar sort of story. I feel like I'm doing something new. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm the only one doing it. I feel all alone.
Yeah.
And so I just started saying, like, well, can I find ways to connect my friends who are feeling all alone as they're birthing some sort of new thing in the church, and just started figuring out ways to try to get people to connect with one another. Yeah.
Well, you called it a post-evangelical pastor and leader gathering. Let's start by talking about what that means to you.
Sure. Yeah. And I should say this, post-evangelical is nobody's favorite way of talking about this, but it is the sort of language that's being used in the larger arena. And so we've sort of grabbed a hold of that. And what that sort of has looked like is folks who have been formed in some sort of way by the evangelical church. And frankly, mostly, like, when we talk about the evangelical church, we're mostly talking about the white evangelical church. And so they've been formed in that, but for various reasons have found the evangelical church to not fit them anymore, and have moved out of it, but haven't left the church behind, and don't fit in other, like, expressions within the church, like more mainline traditions, for all kinds of different reasons. And so kind of feel caught in this no man's land in between mainline tradition and evangelical tradition, and sort of this in-between place.
Well, you told me right off why now, the reasons that you did this. Who was involved and how many showed up for this?
Sure. So we had somewhere around 120 folks from all over the U.S., coast to coast, from the South, from Northern Midwest, and they were largely church leaders. So I want to say, if I remember right, it was something close to 70% of them were pastors or pastoral staff on church staffs. Most of them were a part of churches that felt like they don't fit anywhere in the larger church landscape. Yeah. And a small percentage of them were pastors on staff at evangelical churches where they themselves felt out of line with where their church is at. And they're just trying to figure out where they belong.
What were the objectives of the gathering and the subjects that came up the most?
Sure. So our objectives were, we wanted to create solidarity amongst a group of people who felt alone. We wanted to create some space for people to be re-envisioned to the work that they felt God had been calling them to. And so we wanted to create some space for that. And we wanted to create some space for shared learnings, because as people are creating a new space in the church, they're out on their own innovating, and we wanted just people to be able to learn from each other. So we were trying to create some space for those sorts of things to happen. And then within that, I did a pre-gathering survey to ask people what they wanted to talk about. And a few of the things that were at the top of the list, people wanted to talk about how to sort of lead and guide and shepherd people in their churches through their own processes of deconstruction and reconstruction of faith. So pastors had gone through that experience themselves, but they weren't sure, like, how do I how do I help lead others through that in healthy ways? Mm-hmm. They wanted to talk about LGBTQ inclusion and what does that look like to lead in that space? They wanted to talk about racial injustice and how do we engage in that well? And what does it look like for the church to take responsibility there? They wanted to talk about spiritual formation. And what does it look like to be actually moving, like to be creating ways within our church structure and systems where we're helping people become more fully who God designed and created them to be? So I think those were some of the maybe top things that were being asked mm-hmm. for.
You know, you wouldn't say it for yourself, but it strikes me that you were being a pastor for a whole lot of people who needed pastors.
Yeah, that's really kind. And I think from what I understand of your background, Welton, I think you understand this, that once you're a pastor, it's hard to stop pastoring people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was at this church in Long Beach for about 20 years, and I'm still in Long Beach, California. And so, like, I'm still pastoring folks who are a part of my church. Like, mm-hmm. you just because you're not getting a paycheck from that church, you don't stop doing that.
No.
And yeah, now I find myself doing that with pastors across the country where they're in various places theologically, various kinds of churches, and I find myself getting to pastor all kinds of different pastors.
Were you surprised at all by how many folks were resonating with what you were doing?
Yeah, I genuinely was actually shocked. So the short story of how this gathering came about was this church in South Bend had gotten a grant for me to do some work with them. And one of the things they asked me to do is they said, well, what if like at the end of our like grant year that you bring out a few of these pastors that you're connecting with to help our staff know that we're not alone, that there's other people doing this work and to meet a few of them. So I was going to bring four or five other pastors up with me. And then we said, well, what if we opened it up and we just like, there's probably some other folks that I don't know, we haven't connected with. And so like, let's see if we can find a few more. And I genuinely thought 25 people will show up and that would be a huge success. So it would be a really big deal. And when 120 people, like, but one of my favorite stories of the gathering was a guy walked in and opened up the door to the lobby of the church that we were meeting in. And he just stopped and he gasped and he said, I had no idea there were so many of us.
Gosh. Well, you know, I did go through a similar process many years ago as the Southern Baptist Convention lurched to the political hard right. I felt there was no place for me in those circles. It wasn't that I left the Southern Baptist Convention. The Southern Baptist Convention left me, and I think both of us were glad that I got out. It was a tough decision, though, to leave. But there comes a time when it is the right decision to leave. I'd like for you to tell some more of those stories that you heard in Indiana, because that's what gets people understanding about what we're doing.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there was a lot of folks who have felt displaced in a lot of different ways. So there's everything from a church who was there who had was a part of a denomination and they had gone through their own sort of study of scripture and ended up as a result of that becoming affirming in all ways of LGBTQ folks in their church, both in terms of being able to serve in all roles of leadership and perform weddings. And as a result of that, they were kicked out of their denomination, but not just kicked out of their denomination. They also lost their building that the denomination had a holding on. And that was just before the pandemic hit. So they have their church blow up. They're trying to figure out, like, how do we rebuild? Who are we now? And then the pandemic shuts them down. And so they've been isolated, not only in the same way that all of us were isolated during the pandemic, but they were isolated from having lost who their tribe was in their community. Mm-hmm. And so this became this place for them of this realization that they weren't alone, that there are other people who are locking arms with them, of new friendships, of new people who wanted to support them, work with them, help them. Mm-hmm. I think we also saw one story of one gentleman who I heard after the first day, he called his wife that night and told his wife, he said to her, you know, in every other gathering that I've been in, I always feel like I'm the crazy one. And after this day, I feel like I'm no longer crazy. Mm-hmm. Like I found my people. Mm. I asked, there's a woman who came who is nationally recognized in a few circles, and she's a friend. And I pulled her aside early on the first day. And I said, hey, I know that pastor gatherings are very, very male centric. And I feel like this one has a lot more women in it, but I'm like, I might be wrong. Like, am I just perceiving that? And she said, no, like this is, it's probably about 40% female, 60% male, where it's usually maybe 80, 85% male. Mm. And I said, like, what's that experience like for you? And she goes, I actually have felt like in this space, I don't have to fight for my voice. Yeah. So it was stories like that, where it was really stories of people feeling like they belong, people feeling like they weren't alone, feeling like there was room for them. Mm-hmm. And all of them trying to figure out, like, how do we do church? Like, now we're not ready to give up on the church. We're not a group of people that are saying, let's burn this thing down. That we're a group of people that are saying there's something really beautiful and redemptive here. Mm-hmm. And what does it look like for us to like continue leaning into that and figure out how to be the church in mm-hmm. our time and our place?
Great question. And that makes me have to ask, when you listen to those stories, what does that suggest as a way forward?
Yeah, I don't fully know. So I will say this, like, I am pretty committed to, like, this is not Mike Goldsworthy's thing. There is something that's brewing, so much so that that in the print edition of the Washington Post, this was on the front page below the fold last week. And so, like, that to me said, like, there's some sort of thing that's here that's happening. So I'm getting a group of folks together to essentially say, like, what does it look like? What does it look like for us to steward this well, to not just assume, like, well, what we need to do is just keep doing a bunch of gatherings or whatever, but that there is a longing for some sort of connection here. And I'm not going to put it on my shoulders to say I'm the person who figures this out. Mm-hmm. I want to reach out to the community of pastors who are helping to, like, to help guide this and yeah. to say, like, what is it that would look best here and be most helpful?
Yeah. What kind of responses have followed, whether positive or negative?
Yeah. So it is, I would say it's mostly positive. It's a folks saying, like, oh, I'm so glad something like this is happening. I'm glad to see the church asking the kinds of questions that I've been asking, and pastors in the space that I'm in, because people have felt there's a lot of things being written and spaces for people that are going through this sort of movement in their faith. There's a lot less for pastors. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there is a resonance of, I'm glad that there's something for pastors. Mm-hmm. Some of the criticism came around accusations that I think are probably fair based off of what I saw being written, of it being accused of just being a return to essentially like a neoliberal movement that's already been tried in the early 20th century. And I can understand some of those criticism based off of what was written, but I think actually what's happening is something that's entirely different mm-hmm. than that.
In your teaching position, you are exposed to young people of faith.
Sure.
What are your impressions of the impact these kinds of conflicts are having on young people? And who needs to hear about that, as well as about the situation a growing number of post-evangelicals find themselves today?
Yeah. So the students that I work with are all ministry students. Like, they are intending to go into full-time vocational ministry, and I'm usually getting them in their junior and senior year when I'm working with them. Mm-hmm. And so they're thoughtful students who want to wrestle with hard questions of faith. They want to not be told exactly what they're supposed to think. They want to be able to engage in thoughtful dialogue that exposes them to different ways of understanding the scriptures and to come to their own conclusions with it. So I think that that's true both out of, like, they are not looking for a the more conservative side to do that. They're also not looking for the more progressive side. Like they're the school that I'm at is not a, it's, I wouldn't even, it comes out of what's called the restoration movement, which doesn't fully fit in any kind of space either within the larger church landscape. And so they're not looking for, here's the conservative answers that I need to fall in line with. And they're not looking for, here's the progressive answers they need to fall in line with. They're looking for somebody, they're looking for actually people to help them think critically about what does it look like for me to live out my faith today. And I think that's the thing that I would offer is that churches, and I see this, like my experience is much more of churches that lean to the right, but I'm being exposed a lot more to churches that lean to the left. And I think that there's a bit of a dogmatism that's experienced in a lot of those spaces. And rather than like people want to learn to think critically about their mm-hmm. faith, and we sort of shut that down in different ways. And I think that I actually think that's one of the ways forward, as we're seeing a significant decrease of engagement in church life amongst the younger generation, like a significant decline. And I think that one of the things that they're looking for is a space to be able to think critically about their faith.
You know, I thought this is crazy. I know, but one of the things that was most impressing for me and something that I shouted when I found out was that thinking is not a sin. And that was a freeing thing for me.
Right?
And so I knew that I was on another track that felt like what faith is. And it's always been that way since then.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I actually think we need more men and women who have gone through these sorts of journeys on their own and have even moved beyond it just being an intellectual journey to being a contemplative journey. So, we are missing the mystics mm-hmm. and modern day mystics who can speak into our current landscape to talk about what it looks like to connect with the divine, moving beyond just a head journey or moving beyond just a purely emotional journey, mm-hmm. but something that that takes those into account, but is bigger and more than that.
Mike Goldsworthy is an empathetic organizer of the Ecclesiastically Homeless, working on bringing together alienated evangelical clergy and leaders to create less exclusionary structures. Last month, he organized a gathering in South Bend, Indiana, that drew over 100 participants. Mike, it's really good to speak with you. I affirm you and thank you for what you're doing for a whole lot of people who need what you're saying. We'll always welcome that.
Oh, thank you so much, Welton. It's really kind of you to have me on, and I'm grateful for having like folks like you who have gone before us and really laid some of the groundwork for us to be able to do some of this kind of work.